All right, have a good show.
Thank you.
The recording has started.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to An Hour with an Angel. I'm Steve Becko, editor of The Golden Age of Gaia, and author of Building Nova Earth Towards a World That Works for Everyone. With me today is Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness and the Great Awakening. Handling the production of the program is Suzanne Maresca, host of Heavenly Blessings. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening, Steve. What is it, day, is it night?
Is it day, is it night, yes.
It is. It's evening, and we welcome you all to this incredible time. And this, as Steve and I were chatting just beforehand, that so much is happening behind the scenes, and it just feels, for me anyway, it feels like everything is about to pop, but it's like you're 12 years old or 6 years old and you had to go to bed and you know Santa Claus is coming and there are presents under the tree, but you have no idea what's inside those boxes.
Right. And you energetically are blowing your internet circuits, I understand.
Yes, we are. You know, when we did the Core Issue series, the webinars, we blew all the circuits of our house and had days on end, actually over a week on end, with AT&T from the most direct tech to the managers in their shirts and ties camped out in our backyard. And that was an experience. I thought, okay, they're really getting a blast of the tsunami of love and the Council of Love. But sure enough, over the past week, about an hour a day, at least every day, our internet has been going down, which has been difficult during a time when we have been establishing and migrating and transforming our new website for the Global Conversation, mm-hmm. which is NovaEarth.net.
Yeah.
But yesterday, just as everything is pretty much tied up, our entire system blew. Our internet, our phones, we didn't have the television or music on as we often do, but everything went. Mm-hmm. And AT&T was at our door within minutes, mm-hmm. As you knew, Steve, because we were chatting.
Yes.
But it took all day and 4 different trucks.
Wow.
So they were camped out in by our house and in our neighborhood again. And finally, the resolution was to give us a single designated port in the main frame of the control box. And my theory is that the energy that's coming through these various phone lines and Skype lines and the internet is that it's so strong, that the frequency and the vibration is so high and so strong that the system really doesn't know how to deal with it. And I think that's why it keeps blowing. So their solution, the human solution at this point, is separate them out. Apparently they have this big sticker on it, do not change, do not remove.
Don't mess with this one.
Don't mess with this one. I think we've got it. So, the continuing saga, we'll see, but
yeah,
it's been challenging and amusing.
Very. And Linda, this happened in the middle of us having a reading, right?
That's exactly
and
right.
And you said to me earlier that the system held up your Skype went down, but your phone line held up for the extent of the reading, and then it stopped. Right?
And then it stopped. It absolutely was dead in the water until about 6 o'clock last night.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, too, that you've been speaking to St. Germain this morning. Why don't I let you transition?
All right. A delightful guest.
Yes, indeed. Always. I'll tell our listeners a little bit about St. Germain. He's known to the world as an alchemist, musician, and diplomat, and also as the founder of secret spiritual fellowships and schools like the Rosicrucians and Freemasons. He inspired the novel The Scarlet Pimpernel. He inspired Robert Watt to create the steamboat engine, George Stevenson to create the locomotive, and Mesmer to create hypnosis. He'd leave diamonds on place cards at his parties and surprise people by appearing as the same age 50 years after their first meeting. He'd walk through walls to make his exit and be seen simultaneously at places far distant from each other. I never tire of listing the exploits of the Count of Saint-Germain. Welcome, sir, to An Hour with an Angel.
And welcome to you. Welcome to you, my confrère. Welcome to all of you this evening, this day, this night. I am eternally grateful. And might I suggest as a beginning that each of you, regardless of where you are or where you think you are or where you believe you are, also have reason and just cause to be eternally grateful. For we are all born equal and free under the auspices and with the grace and the very fiber of love of the mother. How could we not be grateful? Now that does not mean in any way, shape, or form that I do not understand, comprehend, and empathize with the situations that many of you find yourself in. Yes, as master, as keeper of the violet flame and the I Am presence, I bring you a huge array of gifts, of blessings, of wisdom, of healing, and understanding. But let us preface this by saying, I do understand in a very human way, not simply from a position of elevated mastery, but as one who has walked the earth for hundreds of years, I understand the various challenges that face each human being, whether it is in the African desert or the cities of New York. Excuse me. I understand. Now, many of you have heard me say multiple times that I have no intention of returning to Earth at this time or in the near future. And it is because of these various challenges. It is because there is still so much to course correct, so much expansion, yes, even as you go forward. The difficulties, the challenges, the obstacles that each of you face either are or can feel enormous. Now, are they in reality something that is insurmountable? Of course not. Many times I have suggested to you to take my violet flame to eliminate, to break down, to bring clarity to the situation so that you, my friends, can truly see what it is that you are creating or co-creating or participating in that is creating such a turmoil within your heart or within your external life. Now, these are the areas that I wish to speak of somewhat this day, not because I ever wish to focus on what you may view as the negative. Quite the contrary. We visit these areas of difficulty so that you may come to understand not only what remains to be seen, what remains to be done, but how to do it. I am at your beck and call. My passion is not merely to create physical diamonds that people may understand the ease of creation. It is to create the diamonds within. It is to create the treasure within that becomes so obvious that even the most short-sighted or myopic individual may see what is buried within the treasure trove of you. You have incarnated my beloved warriors, my freedom fighters, my liberation legion. You have incarnated in a time and space where you are not retreating to the caves. You are in the thick of it. You are anchored in the hubbub of the human race, whether it is in a city of light, in the chaos of war, or the quiet of the countryside. It matters not. You, most of you, the majority of you by far, have volunteered directly to the Mother, to the legions of light, to be the agents of transformation, the agents of radical change that has never been known upon this planet. When you consider this and the nature of such an undertaking, it is not surprising, is it, that there are areas of challenge. Now, you have been given, yes, many gifts. Perhaps most importantly, the Mother's ongoing and never-ending, never-ceasing tsunami of love. Third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave. We have lost count on this side because, like your oceans, it never ceases. And her love and this penetration of your very core will not cease until the job is done. Ancillary to that, you have been given her gifts of clarity, of purity, of grace, again to equip you for this massive undertaking, the transformation of what it means to be human, of what it means to be Gaian.
Just to mention to our listeners, Linda has a cold today, but she's consented to do our program, so we may have to pause from time to time.
My apologies.
It's fine. Do you have some water there, Linda?
And I am drinking as we speak. Okay. He is jumping out of my throat. I do not have a cold.
Oh, sorry.
Tone it down, St. G. Okay. Sweet angels of light, beloved starseed, star beings, earth keepers, ground breakers, guyans, pathfinders, portals, gatekeepers. What are these except titles, reference points that indicate and point to the significance of what you have pledged? You have come to this planet in your mastery. Many of you turn to us as the masters for assistance, for insight, for wisdom, for compassion, for transmutation, for alchemy. And I, with my beloved friends, gladly, joyously share and give this to you. But let us be clear. We honor you as the transformers in physical reality of this ascension, of claiming, of anchoring, of declaring your freedom within the knowing of the I Am Presence. Is there anything more spectacular? Well, yes, there is reunification back to the One. But in terms of experience and journey upon this beloved planet, my friends, you have a corner on the market. Can you imagine? I have lived and seen the wonders of the world. I have witnessed the turning of many tides. But the turning of this tide, of anchoring divinity within the physical form, how is this done? And is it done? Is it completely achieved by those who have no concept or ideation of mastery? I would suggest not. And then I hear you say, oh no, that means the human race who sees themselves as regular, as normal, as not spectacular, will never make it. What I say to you, my friends, is look in the mirror. Look within. Claim your heart and claim your mastery. It is already there. You are already there. You are in the Mother's New Times, jumping like Mexican jumping beans, up and down and all around. Center and anchor where you choose in this spectrum of time to anchor Nova Earth, ascension, Nova Being, and the truth and freedom, the liberation, not only of who you are, but of the entire human race. We are your assistants. We are not the ones that have said to the Mother, I will go. I will assume form yet again. Oh, no, not me. I will return after this has been completed to walk and talk and break bread with you. But you are the ones that are filled with valor, with wisdom, with compassion and patience. So I bow to you on this night. and I wish that to be known prior to speaking of any areas that might still require containment, remediation, reconstruction, expansion. But first and foremost, let me say, I am eternally grateful for each and every one of you. Now, my old friend, Steve, where do you wish to begin?
Well, thank you very much for that introduction. We're hoping to get from you a state of the world address here, because it's very quiet on this side of the curtain. I'm sure it's not quiet at all on your side of the curtain. And we're hoping to find out a little bit about what is happening. You've been talking to Linda this morning about violence in society, so why don't we start there? And I just want to mention one thing, and that's that there have been a lot of instances of police pulling people over and shooting them if they didn't get out of their car, and then conniving with their fellow officers to tell a story about how it happened. So there's even violence from our police forces. Can you talk to us initially about the violence that still remains in society, please?
I will talk about this. I will begin with this because this is the foundational shift that has need and is taking place. Now you say to me, my dearest friend, it seems rather quiet on this side of the curtain of the veil. It is anything but. But you are accurate in your statement that it appears to be quiet, because the bulk of what is transpiring in terms of the shift of the awakening, however you conceive of this, is the internal. We have been in a process with you, with all of you, but particularly with what you would term or think of as the light worker or light holder, love holder, communications, and community, the platform, the conversations, etc. It has been a time of education, of learning, of mastery, of coming to understand the various tools, the tasks, the mission and purpose, the journey that you have had. And there has been great communication and exchange and teaching from our side to you, but also great unseen intervention. And we have spoken of this. We know that Archangel Michael has spoken of this at late, so I do not need to go into it. But there has been much intervention, from nuclear warheads to mass murder. There have also been shifts in terms of large groups of people leaving the planet to return home, complete their mission, and to help with the ascension process from this side. What the focus is right now is on shifting, eliminating. Shifting is too mild a word. On the alchemical elimination of that war within. Now, there have been many names given to it. Yes, they reflect in core issues, because that has been part and parcel of your war within. But what is it that creates a situation? And even more abhorrent, creates a situation that is viewed as somehow acceptable. That those who are in authority, those who have theoretically earned a position of trust have tacit permission to commit murder. Now let us call it what it is. Violence is violence. Murder is murder. Whether it is on a war battlefield or whether it is within a home or within a community. What is it about the human condition at this juncture of human evolution, of quantum leap, that somehow within the collective consciousness still allows for murder in any way, shape, or form, if violence in any way, shape, or form, to be acceptable? Because it is not. Not upon Gaia, not within your galaxy, not within your universe, or anywhere else. It is abomination. It is an act that is born of control and hatred and entitlement. Now you may say to me, Saint Germain, in the times when you have lived, there has been murder, there has been war, there has been a great deal of poisoning, particularly in the royal groups. I have been in many duels, always trying to avoid them. So why do you think that this is still permissible? Because you are here hundreds of years later, and it is still going on, and not only is it going on, it has exploded. The number of deaths, of murders, yes, by those in authority, but even within the home, of self-inflicted murder called suicide, of murder of loved ones, of massive abuse of spouses, of children. How, in an evolved society, can this in any way be acceptable? There is a collective expression, a political expression that is driven by control and power and greed and money, that somehow says that engagement in so-called just wars is acceptable. So this sets the stage to say, oh, well, in some situations, it is acceptable to murder. I leave you to ponder that because it is a foundation of most of your societies. It is atrocious. And it is incorrect. I have been present at the signing of the United States Declaration of Independence. The right to bear arms against unjust controlling forces was never intended to mean that everyone was permitted to carry weapons to harm one another. Never. And that time and the attitudes that it has sprung are incorrect. They are not of self-protection. They are not of political right. They are born of the belief that one has the inherent right to harm another, not to defend. So let us get right to the issue here. It is the belief that if you are in a rage, if you are in a desire to control, if you wish to eliminate someone who is annoying you for whatever reason, you have the right to act out, to maim, to kill, to murder. Where is the self-love in that? Where is the honoring of the divinity in another? And let me even expand this thought. For I do not so much offer you answers or even guidance and suggestions. I am posing the questions. On a planet, on this beloved planet that is so generous with her resources, why is it considered acceptable that some may go without food, that some may not have clean water to drink? This is not a question of karma. This is a question or a situation of entitlement. So you are willing, as a planet, to assign resources to violence and not to humanity. Not in equal measure. So what then, you who care and do love and do toil so deeply and so compassionately and so consistently, what is the solution? It is the healing of this sense of violence within the heart, within the ideation, within the emotional field. That societies, plural, countries, nations, institutions, structures, they are constructed in ways that do not allow or encourage or promote the war within to be resolved. Rather, it gives permission for the war within to express externally. And that is not the symbol of an advanced race. It is the symbol of a very primitive race. Now, am I saying that you are primitive? Most certainly not. I have already prefaced my remarks by saying that you are here. Against all odds, you are here in your mastery. So how do we together heal the violence, the rage, the mayhem, the war within, so that it absolutely ceases to express in the without and the external reality, whether it is the torture and mayhem of ISIS or the streets of Chicago, whether it is a police brutality or a spousal attack. You say, well, Saint Germain, when you put it that way, I feel helpless. My beloved comrades, my purpose is not and never to make you feel helpless. Quite the contrary. When you hold the light, when you step forth in small ways, in grand ways, in baby steps and giant leaps, when you role model behavior, when you speak your truth, when you ignite the violet flame within and without, when you join Michael's legion, when you embrace Gabrielle's joy, you are affecting, shifting, substantially altering, fundamentally changing each and every heart upon this beloved planet. You do not know, and that if I say one thing this night, you do not understand completely and fully the power, not the abuse of power, but the power that you hold within your hands, within your voice, within your words, within your heart. You are the agents of change. And yes, from Michael to the Mother, to Maitreya, to the Buddha, to Kuan Yin, to all of us, we have asked and continue to ask, in your way, step forward in action. Now I expand on this, because this night, I am asking of you, I am guiding you, I am suggesting, as an old friend who has done this themselves, step forward beyond your comfort zone. Now, previously, as part of this ascension process, we have asked of you always to do your best. And we have not defined this for you. But it is a time of transformation. So what I am asking of you is to step forward a step beyond your comfort zone. Now, for some of you, that will be a casual comment in the checkout line when they say, did you find everything you needed today? And you say, well, I couldn't, but my angels showed me where it was. For some of you, it will be vociferously speaking about the atrocity of murder, the atrocity of violence. But when you take, and I know whereof I speak, when you take that one step past your comfort zone, you explode. What it does is it breaks down the self-imposed barriers of what you think or feel because of what you have experienced thus far and in other lifetimes upon Earth. But what it does is it breaks down those barriers of what you think you are capable of. It is not only an action of liberation, It is liberation. It is a declaration of freedom. And what you will find, my dear friends, is that as you do that, you will take the next step and the next step and the next step. And when you see someone spanking their child, and the child is crying and desperate in the middle of the grocery store, you will speak up. And when you see a woman with a black eye pretending that she has not been hurt, you will speak up. And you will offer not criticism about how could you do that. You will offer compassion and training and teaching and showing a way that is of love, not tolerance, but compassion. And they are very different. When you turn a blind eye, when you deny the violence within your heart or within your community or within your planet, then you are denying the truth of who you are. And that is no longer acceptable, and it is not even any longer possible. That is why so many of you, correctly, are turning within. You are delving the mysteries of your beloved heart and soul. You are delving the mysteries, not only of what hurts, but of what is possible. You are saying, this is what I choose to create. And I am saying, let's go. Here is my violet flame. Use it as an agent of alchemy. Use it as an agent of change. Use it as an agent of transformation. You have traveled leagues as a collective and as a lightworker community. You have established, not establishing, you have established a new realm. You are interdimensional beings. You have been flying through the ascension portal for ages. You keep coming back because you know that you love, you cherish, you care about all of humanity. And you know that that violence that is occurring too often internally and externally is not only unacceptable, it is not the truth of who any of you are. You are the clarion call. You are the voice, the action, the role model, the guardian of these changes. Are things quiet upon the planet? They have never been so busy.
Well, thank you for that. I feel a little depressed because the other day I was at a restaurant and listened to a father verbally abusing his child. And even though I was really quite incensed, I didn't say anything about it. And so you've reminded me of that. Well, we're going to probably have to continue our discussion in another session, Saint Germain. But let's see how much we can cover today. I think the next question on so many people's minds is how the dismantling of the Illuminati economy is going and the cleansing of the banking system.
The cleansing of the banking system. Is that not an interesting turn of phrase? But then again, you are a wordsmith. You are brilliant.
Thank you.
And it comes that you say this in non-judgmental terms. And for this, I thank you. The cleansing goes extraordinarily well. extraordinarily well. And I will share with you, I am very involved in this, as you know, for it is part of the trust.
Yes.
But it is much bigger than that as well. Now, Archangel Uriel is also very involved in this transformation, as is Yophiel. They are very involved in the establishment and the anchoring of the future, and they are bringing the silver light of illumination to this situation. And what they are doing for those who refuse, and there are many, it is called self-interest, but those beings are being continually placed in containment by the thousands. And when they refuse and simply continue on in containment or leave their bodies, and that is happening daily by the thousands as well, the system is being cleaned up, lightened up, literally, from the inside out. The transformation of what you think of as financial systems, what I would refer to as equity and equality of freedom, financial freedom, which results in physical and spiritual and all kinds of freedom, I am very aware of the human condition, is moving along at the speed not only of light but of love. Now, is it apart from what you glean from newspaper articles or television reports or internet revelations here and there? It is hard for you to see because most of this, yes, this is where we are useful. Most of this is being done behind closed doors. Now, are there human agents involved, very deeply involved in this transformation? Of course there are. It cannot take place without our famous boots on the ground. The reason that much of this transformation takes place behind closed doors is so that there will not be mass hysteria. Now, you have had glimpses of it here and there. Currency fluctuations have been significant in the last few months. You have seen situations, for example, in Greece, that have been up and down and up and down and all around. You have seen discussions or perhaps heard of discussions in the International Monetary Fund. There is a great deal of discussion about the economy of China. It is all in flux. Not, and I wish to really address this, not that you are going to find yourself in dire straits. Lack of water, lack of food, lack of groceries, etc. There is already far too much lack and limitation and starvation upon the planet. The work that we do in the transformation of the monetary financial situations is to expand access, not to narrow it. But it is already well underway. I will not use the word that is so infamous in these conversations soon. No, I do not say that. I say to thee, it is already underway. So, my beloved friends, it is not about stocking your shelves, your pantry, with canned goods and hoarding water. It is about making sure that your financial wherewithal is in order.
What does that mean, Saint Germain, that our financial wherewithal is in order?
What it means, and I do not mean that you simply have your bank statements. What I mean is, what is your attitude, your feeling about money? Let us be practical in this regard. Yes, I am fully aware and conversant that our beloved Mikhail has always referred to spiritual currency, for that is much of his realm, and it is right and appropriate. But as you know, I am a being that worked with the practical, with the bringing forth of diamonds and treasures and wealth. What is your attitude? What is your relationship with money, with financial abundance? Are you still stuck? And I'm not talking about the physical. I am talking about your heart now. Are you stuck in the belief that you are in lack and limitation, that you are at the mercy of others? Or are you in a place where you think and feel that financial freedom, whether it is 10 cents or $1 million, that money and abundance and being taken care of is reflective of your self-worth, your self-love, that you are loved and cherished enough, and that you are powerful enough to create and draw to yourself every type and single piece of resources that you not only need and require, but you deserve and desire and want for yourself and for others? This is your financial wherewithal. So yes, of course, having what you think of as orderly relationships with not only your internal relationship with money, but your external expression of it. Are you in a position to receive? Have you established situations whereby you can receive? Do you have a bank account? Do you have a PayPal account? Do you have a FedEx account? Now, I am not suggesting that you need all of these, but do you have in place documents, trusts, whatever you would need in order to go forward in practical reality as well? So it is both. It is the balance of the within and without. Are you prepared in a practical sense, in a psychological sense, in a spiritual sense, in a heart sense, to receive? Not because you feel entitled, but because it is part of who you are. That is what I mean.
Part of our light work, too.
That is correct.
Yes, and the next question on my paper here is, when will we see the media rise up as an independent and uncorrupted voice?
Now, I will pose a question to you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
What media are you talking about?
Well, I'm certainly not talking about the alternative media. The mainstream corporate-owned media.
But I am talking about the alternative media.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is the voice. That is the voice of the new tomorrow. That is the voice of truth. That is the voice of one. Because you are unhindered by threats, by self-interest, by control, by greed. Now, if you think we are working on the media, is it our first line of defense? No. You are. the alternative media rises up. That is where we put much of our energies. The old, which is filled with self-interest and greed and corruption, not totally, but it fades away. Because as people become heart-centered and heart-focused and demand reflections of love and worth, they are not interested in hearing the lies, the half-truths. Who wants to hear? Now, there is a role. If there is a police murder, does it need to be exposed? Of course it does, because it brings to the forefront injustice. It requires that truth be known. So do we work with the mainstream media? Yes. But is that our hope and where our focus is? What you think of as mainstream media will be completely infiltrated. Yes. So many of you have been told you are of the blue ray, you are communicators, you are agents and angels of change, you are pillars, you are transmitters, you are anchors of the new realm. Many of you will find yourself involved in media because it needs to be transformed and the truth needs to come forth. But the power structure of corruption, and even when it is not corrupt, I dare say not in a judgmental way, but it is ipso facto, it is morally corrupt. It has need to be infiltrated, changed, morphed, and reborn. So do not anticipate great exposure by the existing media. The infiltration has started, so there will be bright lights here and there. But we suggest you look to alternative media for truth. For balance.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Thank you for that. We've heard a lot about the announcement of new governments. How is that going to take place, Saint Germain, if it's true? Are we really going to see, for instance, President Obama step down? I have trouble conceiving.
No.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
No, you will not see President Obama step down, because let us suggest to you that this one is a star brother and he has not completed his mission and purpose. And there are people that have been positioned to do a variety of tasks all over your planet. Now, does government change? Yes. And people say, well, how? Well, it will not be by a bloody revolution. It will not be bloodshed and mayhem in the streets. I have shared with you today that I have been present and, can I say, somewhat involved in the Declaration of Independence. Now, most of those in power at the time thought this was a fool's game, that this would never come to pass, that the right of ruling was a God-given blessing and it did not belong to common men. Well, I dare say that that has been proved wrong, and in many nations, time and time again. Now, has the purity of that vision, the unfoldment of that vision, been truly held? No, unfortunately. But there is a time, yet again, not simply in this nation or that nation, but as a collective, where you, in fact, raise your voices, raise your votes, and declare that the systems of government all over your planet are inadequate. And it is not merely because they are corrupt or unwieldy or bureaucratic. First and foremost, it is because they do not reflect and meet the needs of the people, the very basic needs. Freedom is not honored. It is, in fact, declared unnecessary in terms of a greater good of national security, which is simply wording for permission to wage war and mayhem, either on other nations or within the nation itself. People of this planet find this unacceptable. But it is not the example of ISIS creating revolution, of what they have called revolution, is also unacceptable. So it will be by the masses of the people, again, coming together in a modified form of what you may think of as ancient Greece, and redefining in a global way, in a workable way, what does democracy mean? It does not mean privilege. It does not mean being ruled by the few. It does not mean having your inalienable rights trampled upon. It means together finding workable solutions that build community, that reinforce community and the value of the individual, not over and above the collective, but certainly in tandem and equal. So your massive bureaucracies will be broken down. You will think of it more as a city-state, not as independent entities, but interconnected, cooperative entities. There will be regional interests, not national interests. So it begins to shift. Are those who refuse to go along with this shift being removed, not by public disgrace, but simply gently but powerfully removed? Yes. Because it does not work. It is not the fulfillment of the mother's plan. Therefore, they can't stay. It is quite simple, really, when you bring it down to that.
Well, thank you for that. We have Susie has just texted me, can we get rid of Chris Christie then? We have about 2 minutes.
Yes, you can.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I'm sure she's whooping it up over there. We have just a few minutes left, and I'd like to spend that time on a particular situation of pollution. We know that Fukushima is being contained. We know the oil spills and industrial pollution are being cleansed from the ocean, but there's one situation that I don't think our listeners might appreciate as being a global situation that could have resulted in omnicide, and that's depleted uranium. It is so powerful that the cloud of depleted uranium that was released from the Iraqi war could have killed this planet. And I think the Galactics are handling that, are they not? Can you tell us something about that?
It has already been addressed by your star beloved family. And it has been not only contained, but it is being transmuted into useful energy that will be available to humanity in different form.
That is truly remarkable. I'm not sure our listeners fully appreciate that action alone has saved the planet.
Your star brothers and sisters, unbeknownst to you, take care of so many of these situations, and particularly this one, that would have destroyed life on Earth, period.
Yes.
So it is a great nod, eternally grateful, is the term that you would use for your star family.
Yes, and without any news coverage, without any request for thanks.
They do it very quietly. They know from a broader history than humanity has full access to at the moment. The devastation, destruction of this nature, there is no win in it. It simply delays and sets back the plan of the mother immeasurably. So they, from their place of what you think of as a higher dimensional frequency, take care of things like this for you, because there is this great social contract, a heart contract, that exists between you, between your star family, between the numerous forces, fleets that exist hovering above, and all of humanity, that they will do whatever they can. They are fully committed to this unfoldment, to this ascension. They understand the challenges that you, as light workers and as a collective, face. They know you have your hands full, and you wouldn't know what to do with this type of cloud. So they quietly and lovingly relieve you of that burden so that you may proceed with your piece of the unfoldment. It is a gift of love.
Well, it is truly an act of salvation for the planet as a whole. I'll make sure to put up a reference to one or more articles on you as the unknown professor at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Saint Germain, because I certainly found that a most inspiring event, situation. And now I'm afraid we're going to have to close off, so do you have any closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, first of all, I thank you, my friend, my brother, and I thank all of you. We have talked of difficult matters this day. But let me end where we have begun. And that is in the expression of gratitude, not only from my heart to yours, but from all of us to all of you. You are loved, you are cherished, you are honored, you are respected. You are masters. Proceed one step past your comfort zone. I will be there to take your hand. Farewell.
Thank you very much, Saint Germain. Farewell.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Very nice.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.